ओम ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः।
गावो विषावत्सतरा हरिद्रा तैलभूषिता। So he did and saw what a tremendously rich, opulent and cultured civilization previously existed in India according to archaeological investigation. Of course, that's only fairly recently, although according to archaeologists, they call this ancient civilization, the ancient civilizations in Mesopotamia and Babylonia and Egypt and India. But that's not very ancient actually. It's just what they can see. They can only see in the recent past, so that's the oldest part of the recent past they can see. That's why they don't accept that Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita 5,000 years ago and all these Shastras were there 5,000 years ago. Such a civilization was there. They say 3,000 years. They're their own speculation. But according to the descriptions of Shastra, according to the astrological positions which are described at the beginning of the age of Kali, then the age of Kali began a little over 5,000 years ago, on the day that Krishna left this world, on that very day, Kali Yuga began. So there's a description of the wonderful civilization that went on for many thousands of years even before, and was going on, and is still going on to some extent, here in Bharatavarsha. But as those of us who have been a little time in India can see, it is very much the Indian way of life, values of life have very much changed. Just recently there was this invasion, or minor invasion or intrusion of Pakistani troops into the Indian side of the line of control in Kashmir. And there was a big hoo-ha. What's a more standard word for hoo-ha? Big rumpus. Big in the newspapers, there's big, so many reports, and so much money was collected for the soldiers and the heroes fighting in Kargil for the sake of protecting India from the intruders. And it's declared a victory because the intruders have now got to disintrude or get back their hell to where they came from, those who survived. Well, this idea is there. They should not come into India with bad intentions. But in another way, India is being invaded at every moment, in every home, through the TV, multinational corporations. Not only the TV, the whole media is enticing the people to live a very Western way of life, Western culture. They say they don't. The British, we drove the British out. The British, maybe they've gone by political control, but the Americans and all the other representatives of Western culture are very prominently here in India. Even though the Indian people are not taking it, they're taking it quickly, but not even as quickly as it's being pushed. You see in the newspapers and the cinema is all promoting the Western lust, greed, even more than in the West. You don't see so much lusty advertisements, and not so much in the West. It's not pushed so much. Maybe because they're already fully conquered. The whole Western civilization is already fully sold out to illicit sex, intoxication and all these things. I remember in the 60s and 70s, there was, when the same process was going on in the West, they had some measure of conservatism. They didn't think divorce was very good. They had family values. They thought that children should respect their parents, and all these things were in the West also. And then just like here in India, gradually they put something in the cinema which wouldn't be allowed previously, and they put something as considered outrageous. Just like previously in Indian cinema, they didn't allow kissing to be shown on the screen. And then gradually it got introduced and it was considered outrageous by a certain section of the population. And now it's just completely normal. So gradually, they're pushing the limits of what they call liberalization, promiscuity in the media. So what was previously considered unacceptable, all different kinds of bad language and violence and explicit sexual explicit depiction of sexual activities, nudity on the screen, in the newspapers. So that's become completely normal in the Western countries. In Italy, last time I was there, you see right in the huge billboards in public for everyone to see, advertisement with completely naked woman. In the newspapers in the West, the most popular newspaper in Britain, daily, it's one of the things that makes it the most popular, has a naked woman photo. So the process of opening up to promiscuity, that's still going on in India, hasn't fully arrived. And to some extent, the Indian people are still trying to hold on to their values. You see the women in the newspapers and the advertisements, they're all absolutely lusted up and in Western dress and mini skirts and so many different things. But the Indian women themselves, some of them are doing, but not all. Still, you see some tie their hair, keep the shindur, different things like this. But gradually it's changing. It's an invasion. It's going on. When our movement was beginning to preach here in India, Prabhupada's ISKCON movement, he brought devotees from the West to preach it, because not many Indian devotees were joining at that time. So ISKCON came to be thought of as some kind of foreign movement. Still, that idea is there to a large extent, that it's very closely connected with foreigners. So it's mostly American devotees. There are more devotees joining in America than any other country at that time. So a section of the Indian population became alert. What is going on? You see, the British, they came first of all just talking about business, and then their missionaries came, and then they took over the country politically. So it may be the same thing. The Americans are sending some people to be devotees of Krishna, but actually their aim is to take over politically. So they were very alert that they shouldn't be taken over. Actually, they were wrong, because we're not lackeys of the American government. I think to a large extent people have accepted that now, that we're not under the control of the American government. We're not funded by the CIA. We wouldn't mind if we were, because they have lots of money. But unfortunately, to date, they haven't given any money, as far as I know. So they thought they're being very smart, you see, we're catching them out. Now they're invading us. But they don't realize they're so foolish. They don't realize that they're coming in through a different Trojan horse. Trojan horse, you all know this story of the Trojan horse in Troy. It's from the Greek. What is it from? The Iliad? Not the Iliad. It must be the Iliad. Yes, the Iliad. Where there was fighting going on between Troy and Athens over some prostitute woman, Helen. She was the queen of Athens, and she got kidnapped, and she liked it by the king of Troy, and they had a big war, and lots of people were killed. So anyway, at one point they made peace. I can't remember if it was Troy or the Trojans from Troy who were attacking Athens or wherever it was, they made peace. And as a gift, they gave a gift of a huge wooden horse as a symbol of peace. So it was brought into the center of the city and kept there. And then in the middle of the night, everyone went to sleep. And in the middle of the night, all the Trojan soldiers got out of the huge horse. And they attacked and they won. Because they couldn't get inside the city by force. So they got inside by trickery. So the Indians were saying that ISKCON is coming, and we're by trickery, just like the British did. They're talking about religion, but later on they'll take power. So they thought they were very smart. They've caught us out. But they're not smart at all. Because they missed what is the real Trojan horse, is that through the media, multinational corporations, how Indian culture is being completely taken over. There's no need of political power in the modern age, because it's just done by money, by corporations, bank loans, and people's minds are controlled. The British had that idea, that as long as the Indians remain in Indian consciousness, we can't control them, we can't rule them. So we should give them modern education, Christianize them, and run down them, make propaganda against their religion. That's the main thing, because people have such faith in their religion, so should make propaganda against the Vedas and against the Brahmins. So that was the British ploy. So the multinational corporation or American ploy or whatever you want, is to, through the media, to put this modern or Western values or non-religious values in people's minds. And the whole thing is going on completely. Urbanization. You see, this is a description of village life. Even up to 20 years ago, the vast majority of the population of India lived in villages. And the towns, they weren't huge conglomerations. But they were market towns and administrative centers. And people from the villages used to come in once a week and sell their goods and go out again. It was village life. And now it's just like the West, huge, every town is becoming bigger and bigger and bigger, and people are taking up the modern values. There's a complete invasion is going on. And as Prabhupada writes here, in the same place, India, Bharatavarsha, people are suffering by giving up the Vedic way of life and not understanding the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. This they don't understand. How much they suffer. How much you have to suffer by giving up this Vedic civilization, very nice civilization. How simple and peaceful and happy people can be if they live a very simple life, relying on the land, cows, and Krishna, and listening to the Vedic literatures, having faith in God. Not that there won't be lust, greed, and anger. It's not that simply by keeping cows that you become pure, absolutely purified. To become purified under any condition, even under ideal conditions of Vedic civilization, it still requires great endeavor, great determination, great sincerity, great mercy to become a pure devotee of Krishna. To become a liberated person, even in the Vedic civilization, even though it was based, the basis was spiritual life. Even so, it's not that many people, it's still Nanushanam Sahasreshu Kastudyatanti Siddhi. Still among many thousands of people, only one would become fully serious to become fully God conscious, because the binds of Maya are so strong, even in an ideal situation. Still, Indian civilization was basically very much religiously oriented. It's a very relaxed way of life. I remember the Indian devotees used to joke about the Western devotees, how they used to walk like this. And Rabindranath Tagore, when he went to London, he said, the people, the way they walk around the streets, you think the whole, it's just a little island, this Britain, you think it might just sink into the sea. Very busy. Whereas in India, people tend to be very relaxed. That's one of those scholars who was interviewed in that book, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Harvey Cox, I think it was. He said when he came to Vrindavan, he was very appreciative how people at any time of the day were simply ready to sit down and talk about religion. And everyone he met, they were happy to talk about what is your religious belief, and they were happy to discuss. And even though they didn't accept what he said about Christianity, they respected that he had some religious belief and something to say. Yeah. They're very happy like that. So whereas in the West, you can't get people to sit down and talk about religion. You can't get people to sit down and talk about anything. And it's just people are just rushing around, busy. But now it's absolutely the same in India. It's the same way of life. People are just busy, this, that. It's even pious people. Every morning, Mr. Brajesh Agarwal comes with his wife. He's a Marwari means they're generally, I was talking yesterday, they're generally pious people. One set. So he comes in for darshan. That's it. 2 minutes darshan. Whereas his grandfather, I guarantee, his grandfather would be up early in the morning, take a bath, do some puja, Sampad, every Marwari used to recite Gopal Sahasranam, isn't it? Because that by reciting the thousand names of Gopal, one of the things at the end it says that you get wealth. So this used to be every Marwari would recite Gopal Sahasranam, the thousand names of Gopal. And some other thing, different people do different things. Someone would recite one chapter of Gita every day. So guaranteed his grandfather was doing that. Because every Marwari did it. Either in the home or in the shop, when they opened up, first of all they'll do a little something in the shop. Guaranteed. Nowadays, even now, you may find when they open the shop, they offer a little incense to everything in the shop. Even you see the first income of the day, they'll touch to their head. This is God's mercy. Let's hope there's plenty more of it during the day. But basically the old way of life is gone. The whole idea of competition, success, a lot of pressure, very, very high pressure society, pressure to succeed. And people are not happy, they're suffering. From the very beginning, the children are under so much pressure. Study, study, study. All the students are so frustrated. They hate their studies, but still they have to do it. And there's so much talk of success, but you know, there's not everyone can be Aditya Birla. There's only a few people. Success means there's a pyramid. And at the top it's very narrow, and at the bottom it's very wide. So how many people can get in top positions? You'll see when there's sometimes they advertise government has 20 jobs. And sometimes, especially in Kerala, you'll get sometimes 1 lakh people applying for 20 jobs. Because in Kerala they're supposed to have 100% literacy. But it's still one of the highest unemployment rates in the country. You see, even they have the idea everyone should be literate and then you can get jobs, but it's not true. So how the way of life has changed. And everything else, all the other degradation will come. Slaughterhouses will come, has come. Absolutely has come. Slaughterhouses, divorce, everything else. I mean, those of you who listen to my lectures, you must have heard this lecture hundreds of times. I mean, I say the same thing they do. Same thing we should repeat. Just see how people are suffering by giving up their way of life. It's a takeover. India's taken over. Practically speaking, India is taken over by the Western ethic. India has given up her culture. And they praise the war heroes who drove out the Pakistanis. Who will drive out the pornography? Who will drive out the nonsense that you have to spend for Ray-Ban sunglasses and Nike shoes? And who's going to drive out this nonsense? That's on a more political control is on a very gross level. But this subtle control, how people think, their way of thinking, that was formally maintained. The whole culture was maintained by pious kings, brahmanas, who would recite shastra. And all the vaishyas also, they would contribute to building temples. Still they're contributing to building temples. But the temples, to some extent, they're upholding the culture. But because there's no proper instruction, the British were very smart. They thought we have to get in the education. So the educational system is geared towards a Western atheistic way of thinking. Even if people see, even the West, America is supposed to be very pious. People basically believe in God, even now. Most people in America, if you ask them, do you believe in God, they'll say yes. Probably more than in any other countries, and more than India maybe even. Apart from the Islamic countries, probably more than any other country in the world, they profess to believe in God. But factually, what they believe in is a materialistic way of life. Jesus Christ said, you cannot love mammon, or the sense enjoyment, and God. So somehow they've compromised the idea that God and believing in God and believing in sense gratification, there's no instruction what it means to believe in God. Believing God means you should follow his instructions to become freed from sense gratification and surrendered at his lotus feet. But somehow they've brought the two things together. God is someone who blesses us to enjoy this material world. God loves America. Isn't there some saying like that? God bless America. God bless America. Why only America? America is the land of the free. Free to do what? Free to be to be under the control of those who would have you be ajitendri. Those who want you to be nonsense control, we are under the control of them. By the modern propaganda. The Vedic culture teaches us to be free. There are so many rules and regulations. But it teaches us to be free from lust, greed and anger. And modern civilization means you are controlled. That it's easier to manipulate people who are simply lusting after material objects. They have no discrimination. They think they have a choice. What is the choice between Nike and Reebok? Levi's and Wranglers. Different brands. What is the choice? Who in the school or the media is promoting to even think about self-realization, which is the actual purpose of life? There's no freedom of choice without knowledge. Freedom comes when there's knowledge. What to choose. But they can only choose different varieties of sense gratification. They're not given any choice. Do you choose to be a sense gratifier? Or would you like to come above that stage? There's no such choices given. In fact, anyone who wants to deny sense gratification, they're socially ostracized and thought of as being something very strange or unusual or dangerous. That's why that Alexander Solzhenitsyn, what's his name? I got the pronunciation wrong. Okay. So he was kicked out of Russia for speaking about how the system is controlling the people with no choice. He was given the Nobel Prize for Literature. Then he was considered a great hero in America. But then he publicly made a statement that the Russians are slaves and the Americans are slaves. The difference is that the Russians know it and the Americans don't know it. Then after that he wasn't popular in America anymore. But that is the fact. He was a person with insight. He could see how he saw through all the communist guff. And he spoke against it. He had the courage to speak against it. And then he went to America, and in a short time he saw through the talk of freedom. Where is the freedom? You're also controlled. How is it that people are buying Coca-Cola? Why should anyone spend their money on some thing? I mean, it doesn't even taste particularly good. I remember, I don't think I drank one for more than 25 years, but even then, I remember as a kid, I'm trying, what's this? It doesn't taste very nice. Kind of bitter flavor, isn't it? And I don't like it. But who would, if it was just put Coca-Cola, no one would buy it. It's only a multi-billion-dollar business because it's constantly promoted by advertising. So by advertising, they're influencing you. Buy this, buy that. It's not advertised on the basis of any intelligence. That if you drink Coca-Cola, it is this many vitamins, and it doesn't have any vitamins, so how can they advertise? It's called junk food. It's rubbish. So it's advertised on a sub-intelligent platform. All the advertisements, it's all appealing to animal instinct. It doesn't appeal to any. If there should be any advertisement, it should say, what are the benefits of this? Why you should buy this food? Actually, why you should buy, you should just buy food and cook it yourself. But any prepared food, there's no need, you should prepare all your food at home anyway. But what is the benefit of this product? Why should you buy Levi jeans? Because they're very strong and they'll last a long time. It's good value for them. There's no such intelligent promotion. It's all on the basis. Actually, all the advertising is on the basis of sex. 99%. It's all. Sense enjoyment. So where's you're controlled by advertising that is pulling you to the level of an animal. There's not even on an intellectual platform. There's no, it's just on the basis of sense impulse. The Vedic civilization is to make people intelligent. They think living in the country, that's just for foolish people. You have to come to the city and you become intelligent. Go to college and go to university. But this city education, it makes you a big fool. Anyway, everyone is abodha jata. Everyone is born foolish. But modern education makes you a bigger fool. You're already foolish. But they educate, you're foolish. Why? You're foolish because you're interested in sense gratification. You don't have knowledge of sense, of self-realization. Abodhajata, you're born foolish. So modern education gives you the education to promote the ethos of becoming a sense gratifier more and more. So modern education makes you a bigger fool. But you are thinking, I'm so intelligent. I got a good job. It means you're being exploited by someone. And he's also being exploited by someone else. So Vedic civilization is to create that ethos in which there is education about the goal of life. That's why Prabhupada often used to say that the uneducated farmer in India is more advanced spiritually, more knowledgeable. And that ultimately means more intelligent and more educated than a PhD in the West. Because you may be a PhD, but you don't even understand what is the purpose of life. You don't even understand who you are. But the uneducated farmer will come down and bow down before farmer. Nowadays there's no uneducated farmers either. Because they're all, even every village, they're all sending their kids to school. Everyone has to get educated, boys and girls. Educated how to become a big fool. And Vedic education, or even simple things, the uneducated farmer used to go to, they used to hear in the village at the discussion, Ramayana, Mahabharata. So from this they would get the basic education. You're not this body, you're here as a result of your karmic reaction. You have to get out of this, it's the ultimate goal of life, to get out of this material world. And Prabhupada used to say, PhD plow department. Better they should go and better than learning all this nonsense. And PhD especially means they have to put forward some speculative theory. As long as you're just a graduate, then you're just learning. But then when you become PhD, you have to make some new thesis. It has to be a new thing, some new nonsense idea. So plow department, Prabhupada said, plow department. Better they go and pull a plow. At least do something useful. Prishigo rakshavanija. And the Prabhupada said, educated shudras. Why? Because education, modern education means you just have to get a job. Prabhupada gave the, it says shudra is like a dog. They have to be under a master. Prabhupada said, you get your degree and then you go from door to door. Please give me a job. Please give me a job. Whereas in Vedic culture, the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas and Vaishyas, they were independent. And the majority would be Shudras, the same thing, pyramid. That for one Brahmana, there may be 10 Kshatriyas. For one Kshatriya, 10 Vaishyas. And for one Vaishya, 10 or more Shudras. So the higher class, they were independent. It means that they independently have their income. Brahmanas, they don't do anything for income, just people give, that's all. Or even the higher class Brahmana doesn't even take charity. He simply goes to the field where the grains that have not been collected, he picks up those. That's very high class. In this way, he doesn't depend on anyone. Or another class, he may not beg, just what people give him. But the one who collects the grains, he doesn't even accept. Even if someone gives him unsolicited, he doesn't accept. Brahmana may beg, or he may accept donations from disciples or others. So Brahmana is independent. Kshatriya, by his prowess, his ability to rule, he collects taxes from the Vaishyas. And Vaishyas, they do some trading, or they have land, or a combination of both. In this way they're independent. You'll see, I don't know now, but even now I've seen just recently, actually a few days ago, previously, if you ask someone what job that is, and I don't do any job. I have my own business. Now someone doing a job may be earning 10,000 rupees a month. Someone doing his business, he may be taking a basket of fruit on his head and going door to door and sell it. But he's independent. He has that pride. I'm not controlled. I'm not working for anyone. He may be only earning 2,000 rupees a month. But he's proud that he's kept his independence. But the modern education means that you have to get a job. You have to work for someone. So Prabhupada compared that to, as you know, Prabhupada compared, there's Sanskrit term, shvavritti, that's there in the Bhagavatam. It means the profession of a dog. It said that, because that's said in relationship to the Brahmanas and Kshatriyas, that in a time of emergency, a brahmana, he can even do business or some such thing. Or a kshatriya, if there's no opportunity for him to execute his kshatriya dharma, not on a permanent basis, but just temporarily, he may do some business. But under no circumstances should he undertake shvavriti, means the profession of a dog. It means to engage in the service of someone else for remuneration, for some, to be maintained by someone else. So the modern education means you, that's what you do. You get a degree, you're very proud, and then you get a good job. The whole society is just here to this whole way of life. And everything, it all comes as one big package. Sensual degradation, lack of interest in spiritual life, no systematic teaching of spiritual life, staying up late at night, becoming rakshasas by staying up late. And what are they doing? Rakshasas, you see, rakshasa, they're called nishacha. It means they move around at night. Whereas a saintly person, or a person in the mode of goodness, sleeps at night. Unless he's very advanced, he's conquered sleep. Otherwise, the night is for sleeping. But rakshasas, they like to stay up at night and sleep in the day. And what do they do at night? The business of rakshasa is sex and violence. So modern life means you stay up late at night watching TV. And what's on the TV? Sex and violence. So absolutely the modern civilization is producing rakshasas. To call them shudras is a compliment. Shudras, actually shudra, if he's well behaved, they may be respected also. Sometimes you find that they may be very cultured people also. From the shudra, if you say, shochati iti shudra, one who has no spiritual knowledge, who's attached and therefore laments. So that is an insult. Otherwise, one who's following his shudra dharma very nicely, he may be a respected person. But the modern civilization is producing rakshasas, and they think it's very advanced, very sophisticated. Simply rakshasa civilization. People are suffering, and they will suffer more. The more they go on with this way of life, the more they will suffer. Not only in this life, but they have to suffer sinful reactions. People don't know. So what is the solution? The solution is to spread Krishna consciousness. And alongside it, Krishna consciousness and Vedic culture side by side. Two things are absolutely complementary. You see, Krishna himself is this whole ceremony. The cows are smeared with a mixture of turmeric and oil. They're decorated. The cows are given so much importance. Krishna himself is upholding the Vedic culture. Go Brahmana Hit. He desires the welfare of the cows and the Brahmanas. The cows and the Brahmanas are the two central, what should we say, central pillars of Vedic culture. How cows and Brahmanas should be respected. Society centers around them. Looking after the cows and the Brahmanas. And Krishna himself showed this culture. Krishna consciousness and Vedic culture go side by side together. Nowadays, for spreading Krishna consciousness, especially in the West, we may have some kind of rock and roll, Hare Krishna, different things like that. So there may be some place for that. But the original Vedic culture, which is complementary to Krishna consciousness, the Vedic style of music, like tasteful, pleasing to Krishna, Vedic style of dress, values in human society. There's certain values, very much graduated society. There are grades of people. It's not that everyone is treated all the same. It's another nonsense of modern society, democracy. No, there should be, according to one's level of spiritual advancement, according to his level of culture, a person should be respected. Not everyone all the same. Not everyone should be treated the same. We should listen to saintly people who know the Shastra, not only know it by learning, but who have absorbed the subject matter of the Shastra, and who practice that in their life, by their character, they are seen to be worthy to be listened to. So such people should guide society, real Brahmanas. Not that now they have this same thing in India they have in the West, this nonsense thing that they take the opinions of cricketers and film stars on different issues. What is their qualification to say? What is your opinion about this, the political scene? Hey, someone is, hitting a ball with a bat, or they're dancing on a screen. What is their qualification to speak on the political situation or social situation or any situation? They're just idiots by profession, professional fools. These are the people that are adulated in modern society. The bigger a fool you are, the more you're considered respectable, and they take their opinion. However, what kind of society can you expect if these are the people who are shaping the opinions of others? People who, by profession, they're idiots, fools, rascals. These are the great stars of modern society. Very foolish society. The foolishness is unfathomable. And how people are taking it up, so-called intelligent people are taking it up. And they don't see the hypocrisy. The hypocrisy that they're fighting to kick the Pakistanis off a few mountain edges, and just at the edge of India. Whereas the whole of India is absolutely full of Americanism. And there's no fight. They're just embracing. Please come. Please teach us. These are the gurus. Your gurus are Michael Jackson and any number of fools and rats. These are your gurus. Please teach us by example how to be bigger fools and rascals. The Americans are the biggest fools and rascals. And we want to be like you. Means that Americans' biggest fools and rascals means that they made a whole civilization based on foolishness and rascaldom. And they're exporting it all over the world. And somehow they made it prestigious. The bigger fool and rascal you are, the more prestigious. People want to have Nike, Reebok, Levi, Ray-Ban. That means you're just a slave. You're a fool. You're a mental slave and a monetary slave of some big corporation who they've advertised, to be prestigious, you must be like this. You're a fool. If you're wearing Ray-Ban, Nike, Levi, you're showing, this is my prestige. You're showing, this is my foolishness. You're advertising, I am a fool. At the expense of 20,000 rupees, maybe, to wear all these things. I'm a 20,000 rupee fool. Shukdev Goswami, Chirani King Patina, are there no torn clothes on the road? Are there no torn clothes on the road? This is Shukdev Goswami. Kasmad Vajanti Dhanadhurmada. What is that? Kasmad Vajanti Kavayo Dhanadhurmadam Dhan. Why should an If a person is actually intelligent, why should he flatter those who are blinded by wealth? The whole of India is now dana dharma dana. They are blind. Right. Dharmada also means just like foolishness. So blinded and foolish by the prospect of getting wealth. But there are no more kavis. There are no more intelligent people, it seems, because everyone is blinded. Shukdev Goswami says, why should you, if you're actually intelligent, why should you flatter such people? Why should you be interested in such people? That is the sign of an actually intelligent person, like Shukdev Goswami. He's not interested in wealth and prestige. This is among the prestigious people in India. This money, prestige, reputation, all this, they consider it's just, that is for fools. amassing money, having a big title, that is for fools. Those who are intelligent, they renounce the world, go to the forest, be incognito, no prestige, no fame. Conquer the senses. Now the modern society has come under the control of the fools. Hare Krishna. Any questions? What to do? Distribute Prabhupada's books. You're supposed to get this mended, right? Huh? All day?
Yeah.
You gonna do it today?
Yeah.
For sure? We're being invaded by the radio. What's your question?
The Greeks gave the
Belly of the Horse,
and
then light up
the world of the Lord.
Is it? Okay. Thank you.
There's a detailed question about this. Nowadays, many people come from Brahmana families, and it's like much more than 100,000. So, how do you explain that?
What's that? I didn't catch your question. You meet people from Brahmin families. Oh, you meet more Brahmins. That's because our movement has more intercourse with the caste people of India. The caste people of India, among the Hindus, what to speak of the Muslims, the Muslims themselves are 15% of the population of this country. But among the Hindus, the caste people, that means Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and other subcastes like Kayastas, I don't know what they're called here. They don't make up more than 15% of the population. So it's just that our movement mostly interacts with caste people who tend to be well placed in society. But the huge population is even we don't interact that much with people from Shudra caste. We more interact with Brahmins, Vaishyas, but the Dalits. And the Adivasi and the Dalits, how much is the population? The non-caste people or the low-caste people is a massive population. Go out on the corner now. Have you seen? All the people coming for the daily labor? We don't see that. I mean, maybe Padayatra does, but mostly our ISKCON preaching in the temples in India, we don't see much of the population. It's the vast majority of the population is... the lower, what are called outcasts, they're a different name, Harijan, some are coming.